Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. And this is Stephen Zimmer coming to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky for episode number 294. Yes, we're getting very close to the big 300 pretty soon. So joining me tonight, we have two co-hosts. One will be joining us in progress, the lovely Holly Phillippe. But with me here right now is the one, the only, the one behind Dark Style, Daniel Dark. Hello, Daniel.
What's going on, brother?
Doing good.
It's a good night here in the middle of nowhere. It's a dark night here in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, well, we're all bunkered in at least for the next hour and a half, so I'll be all right. But we're going to have some fun tonight, Daniel. Got a great guest who's making a bit of an encore appearance, because we're going to go into the story later when he comes on. But, yeah, we had a night when the whole Blog Talk Radio platform had a glitch and melted down. And it was about 45 minutes into his show a few months back. And we're going to give him a chance to have a full show. So we'll definitely go over that a little bit more later. But yeah, it's, how are you doing? You look great, by the way, on Instagram. I loved your new profile photo, if it was that, new photo of you. Looking good, man.
It's a I'm branding out to the one and only, the true dark one is coming out to the world. So
nice. Yeah, I know you. You're up to some good stuff, always working on stuff behind the scenes. And, of course, we talked last week. You got that awesome raffle going on with the motorcycle grand prize and the special cigar boxes that each come with a raffle ticket for that. And I believe a limit of 100 of those boxes available. And really pumped about that.
200 boxes will be available.
200 boxes.
I've sold a little over 20 of them since I started just the other day.
Nice.
So they're going pretty quickly right now. So if you're wanting to get one, you need to get your order in for one now.
Nice. All right. Well, good deal. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And then, yeah, if anybody's into the cigar world, it's definitely a cool box of stuff from Mr. Dark. So, yeah, which you can't beat with a gentleman's cigar, a great trolley that we've followed all along its development from the start here.
for that's $100 awesome. Or getting over $100 worth of cigars plus a raffle ticket for a collector's item type bike, motorcycle.
Yeah, nice.
So,
yeah, it's sharp too.
It's my personal motorcycle, so.
Yeah, so it's been well taken care of. And look on Instagram under Gentleman Cigar to see some photos of everything with you. And it's a great way for people to get to see the interior of your awesome trolley and the exterior as well. You get to see the bike, get to see you. It's definitely check it out on Instagram, Gentleman Cigar. The cool stuff going on there.
Gentleman's MENS _ cigars with an S.
Yes.
On Instagram.
It's awesome. And hello, chat room is starting to heat up. Welcome to Carol Prefladish and Sandy Lender, and getting started under there. Hopefully we'll have a good chat room going tonight as we get into the depths of the holiday season. And I wish I'd had exciting stuff to tell you, Daniel, but I don't.
Every time that we get in a conversation before the show where we're talking, you know, about personal stuff with each other, that the show decides, oh, they're done talking. Let's go to the show.
It's too funny. It always does cut us off, right? Right when I'm telling you like something or in mid-sentence, it always shifts over to showtime like right then. And I think it does it on purpose because sometimes the clock says like 15 seconds or something, but it just shifts over. So I think it does it on purpose. But as long as it works,
that's my fault. Every time you're getting right to the punch of it, the music starts up. I'm like, really?
Yep, that's how it goes. That's kind of, it's a guy's own little pesky Murphy's Law, but hopefully that's the only thing we encounter, knock on wood. I do have some wood. Here we go. Definitely, I did literally knock on wood just to make sure, but should work well tonight. Yeah, well, no, you do down there. Oh, man. But, I've just been all work and no play pretty much. But, making progress in the writing. I think, I don't know if I talked about it, I did get the first draft of my follow-up to Dream of the Navigator done, but it's only the first draft. I haven't finished my polishing and nip and tuck phase and handed it off to the editor yet, so I can't declare it done and hand it off yet, so it's not technically finished manuscript just yet, but I did get through the first draft, and that was not too long ago, so... About a week ago, so I'm in the thick of that.
I've been doing almost exactly the same thing that you've been doing, except I've been doing all play and no work. You know, just...
Now, that sounds awesome. I wish I could partake in something like that. Oh, man, that would be... I need some downtime.
Smoke cigars. I get to play on the computer and everything and redevelop everything that I need to redevelop. And just enjoy myself, talking to business people about, different things that matter in the world.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Not just the little intricate things that, may be going on in your life that you don't need to worry about anymore.
Yeah.
So.
But, you have some good conversations during the day on some of your conferences and stuff, Zoom calls and whatnot. So I'm always fascinated with your world there for sure. And it always percolates some good ideas on your end. You always see you acting on a lot of stuff after your brainstorms. So that's always a good thing. But
Friday night, I want you to be on that Zoom call Friday night.
Yeah. I will do my best. We're getting invaded, though. All these crews coming in.
I want you on that Zoom call Friday night.
I will do my best.
I didn't say do my best. Did you not hear me?
I heard you. But you don't know the storm that's heading my way this weekend.
That Zoom call Friday night. Will be.
Yeah. Oh, depends on how long, because, we're getting flooded with people on Friday. Yeah, Holly's wave one of our of Holly's family is coming to see us this weekend, and then there's a wave two a week after this, and
you,
I have to try to weather the storm. What's that?
You may be ready to be on that Zoom call by then.
I could be, yes. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of stuff. Luckily, my weekdays are not going to be too crazy, so I can not get too distracted from what I do. But, the weekends are going to be a mess. But I will do my best. I will do my best. And, I'm trying to see if we got some updates coming from the chat room. Sandy's got her big home electricity project going on right now. And she's... just reading a few comments about that, and it looks like Carol got about 30,000 words done in November on a new project, so that's awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah, we got to try to get a few updates in the chat room there. And we've got...
Keep giving us the good news. We're ready for another one.
Yes. And speaking of good news, and to stay on the topic of our the folks in the chat room, I've got a little some cool extra update stuff from Sandy. In the 365 days to create and motivate your inner writer workbook, Sandy included word count goals and inspiration on the February weekend of the Write Fighters 3-day novella contest. Faybreak Books, headquartered in Ontario, announced that the contest registration is open. Folks can register with early bird discounts until January 4th or 5th for the contest, which guarantees them a panel of judges will read their completed manuscript after the weekend. And she says, it's freaking exciting. It stirs the creative juices. And you know, of course, you know, as we like to always point out with Sandy's book, there are additional items of awesome sauce like that within her fabulous book, 365 Days to Create and Motivate Your Inner Writer. Yes, again, that is in February. That's the Write Fighters 3-day novella contest from Faybreak Books, and that's Feybreak Books in Ontario. And yeah, again, that contest registration is open, and they do have discounts for early registrants for the contest up until January 4th or 5th for the contest. And again, that's you will get a guaranteed panel of judges to read their completed manuscripts. So that is something sent along from Sandy for me to pass along to all the writers that are listening tonight. Definitely something that's very worthwhile. Sandy has participated and can vouch for that. So I wanted to make sure we got that in. So that's a little something for you all to get involved in. You know, all you writers out there listening have all genres. And so I guess it's appropriate that it came from the genre blender herself, Sandy Linder. So, we'll just keep riffing on the Sandy Linder front and we'll go ahead and recognize our sponsors tonight. And well, they are Per Bostet Publications, the great publishers out of the Louisville area, Sarah Marion, Peely Harris, and Marion Allen. And then, of course, Sandy Linder. And we'll give you Per Bostet's info, and then we'll give you the spot from Sandy. But, yeah, definitely, if you're looking for Christmas gifts, check out Per Bostet Publications site. Definitely quality publications from them all across the board. Lots of genres, lots of, I mean, well-crafted stuff, great writers on their catalog. Check them out. And that's from me. But, yeah, here's the official stuff. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With over 30 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Explore post-World War II England with 11-year-old Sylvie and Edelweiss for Elizabeth, the sequel to Andrea Gilbey's Bottle Tops for Battleships, or dive into the thrilling world of Karma and Crime, a new supernatural mystery by J. Paul Burroughs. You can find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. And I will give you a spelling of that website address and encourage you to check it out. PerBastet Publications.com. So PerBostetPublications.com. You know, check them out for sure. And now we'll go ahead and give you a little bit from Sandy Linder and that book that I just mentioned earlier, which you all definitely need to pick up to cover your next year in 2022.
Tell an artist in your life you support and believe in them. Author Sandy Linder makes that easy with her latest release, 365 Days to Create and Motivate Your Inner Writer. This workbook is a journal, creative resource, and tool of inspiration all rolled up in one, with 365 prompts and suggestions to stoke the creative brain. Grab it from Amazon in time for holiday gift giving. That's 365 Days to Create and Motivate Your Inner Writer by Sandy Linder.
Thank you, Sandy. That's I love that spot. It always gives me I feel peppy and inspired after hearing that. So yeah, check out that book, everybody, because it's something you can definitely use every day of the year in 2022. And looks like the one, the only, I'll have to give her an introduction before I turn on her mic. The vivacious, the dazzling Holly Phillippe is, you know, the star co-host of tonight. Here she is. Your mic's on, Holly. I saw you just came aboard.
Well, that was a wonderful introduction. Do what, Daniel?
The queen has arrived. All hail the queen.
I have. That's right. I have arrived. Better late than never. See, the queen is never on time. So we always run fashionably late.
The queen
is true.
Always on time, hon.
Well, you're right. I want to give you like a minute to get settled, but you arrived
just in time
for tonight's guest. Your timing is just perfect, Holly. And as I said earlier, our guest was truncated a little bit on his last appearance a couple months ago, and so tonight he is back for an encore. And he is an author, a poet, a podcaster, and a video game streamer, Twitch affiliate at Shades of Midnight Gaming and Streaming. And he is part of the Through the Tempest Black anthology project that we've talked about. He's the author of such novels such as Teddy, which, of course, kicks off the Damnation Saga, and In the House of Wolves, and a lot of great titles. And so now I think y'all have an idea who we're bringing aboard. The one, the only, MDA, Michael David Anderson. Welcome back to the show, and hopefully the platform stays up. Hello. I see you.
I'm here. I'm here. I wasn't sure if I was live or not. I was just like,
we got to give you an extra fancy intro there, because last time, you know, the entire Blog Talk Radio platform had a meltdown.
That's what happens when I come around.
On the show that they, you know, it crashed the whole server, so.
Couldn't handle the awesomeness. That's what it was.
I think that's
it's just like I showed up and they're just like, you know what, no, we got to get this guy off the air. Everyone pull the plug, just get rid of him. Do anything you can.
run.
I think it was top hat overload, because we have two people on the show tonight who can both sport a top hat and just look awesome in one, so with you and Daniel. So I think it may have been a top hat thing, maybe overload. So
I
got a boost on our account for tonight on that. I asked the text. I was like, "Yeah." I said, "We got them back. We need some top hat coverage, extra top hat coverage." So, I think it should cover it. But yes, good to have you back.
That's good. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Let's hope that that they've got everything in order. That way, you know, we don't find ourselves suddenly dropping off the edge of the internet again.
it's kind of a slow thing too. It's like one person's mic slowly went out, and another person's. By the end, it's just like complete. It's like sinking into the swamp of sadness and a never-ending story almost. But
well, this one is going to go
Rebecca
great.
At the end last time.
Tonight, Michael, because you have a fired up and energetic Holly. She's actually feeling somewhat healthy tonight after dealing with a little bout of not feeling too hot after being overloaded during November. So yeah, we got a full strength Holly almost tonight. So just forewarning you.
I'm glad you're feeling better, Holly. That's a good thing.
Thank you.
You know, of course you're welcome. Of course, we kind of figured out last minute that I was coming on tonight, and I talked to y'all yesterday about coming on, and I felt great yesterday, and then this morning I woke up and I was sick, and like my throat was swollen and everything. I ended up going to the urgent care, and I'm just like, I'm supposed to be on a show tonight. This doesn't bode well.
Well, you are a trooper. You are a trooper. So how are you feeling now? I mean, are you feeling a little better? Did you get some medicine?
I've got medicine in me. I'm hydrating. Like, I'm going to soldier through it. I've got this. So
you're awesome.
Are you hydrating or just hydrating with water and stuff?
Oh, I'm just hydrating with water. I'm just, I'm being good tonight.
Steve will keep you covered then.
Yeah,
I joked with him earlier. I joked with him earlier about hydrating. But
you'll just have to make
I'm good.
Up for
I only
me.
Have my
you'll
one
just
four.
Have to make up for me.
That's
yeah.
it. That's it.
Yeah, it's like I always say when people at, you know, it's like bourbon does contain water. Technically, I am drinking water, just with a little extra.
But it's like I'm imbibing fluids. It's okay.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You're,
oh,
you're
wow. Well,
having a grain soup, you know.
Yeah, it's my serving of vegetables. Exactly. Right.
There
but,
you go.
But with you, Michael, the cool thing with you is like, it's like, and I mean, you, it's like you are the prototype creative for Imaginarium, because I mean, you're involved in the video gaming world.
Yep.
You're involved in the screenwriting world. You're a poet. You're an author. I mean, and just everything, you know? And so it's kind of like hard to determine where to start. But I do want to ask you about a certain trip you made recently, because that sounds exciting, but I know that you can only talk about certain things because of an NDA. So I don't want to mess anything up and say anything that's not supposed to be said, but tell us what you can about the recent trip.
Well, I ended up going to Los Angeles the first weekend of October with my wife. It was our first trip together, you know, as a married couple, so that's always fun.
Oh, cool.
But we went out there for Shriekfest, which is a horror-themed film festival, and I had landed, you know, this gig of co-writing a screenplay last year during the COVID lockdown. And we had submitted it to Shriekfest, and we ended up getting it into the finals for their best original horror screenplay.
Well, congratulations.
That sounds wonderful.
So, and it was a great time. Got to meet some great people. Finally got to meet my co-writer because we met online. It was a lot of fun. I actually, what's really funny is, I live in Florida now, and we went out there, and some of the people that we met were also from Florida. And I'm like, I had to go to Los Angeles to meet people who are in my backyard. What's going on here?
Where are you
it's
at in Florida?
It's so funny how that happens. Go ahead.
I'm right outside of Tampa.
Matt lives in St. Pete.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Matt Lake. Yeah.
I don't think you're too far from Sandy Lender. I think Sandy's pretty close to there,
down
too.
Down in there, too?
So, yeah. Yeah, I've got a little,
yeah,
little cadre of creatives we know down there now. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sandy
she's
said she's
of
outside of Tampa.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's just outside
she's like,
of Tampa.
What the hell? I'm outside of Tampa.
Yeah, you're in Sandy Lender territory in Citrus County.
Yeah,
that's what she said. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm in I'm in Hillsborough County.
Oh, that's awesome.
I actually I haven't been here all that long. I've only been here about a year. So,
you know where
I lived
Pete
in North.
Right?
What was that?
You know where St. Pete is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Matt Lation lives in St. Pete. You've got Sandy down there. You're down there.
That's awesome.
Y'all want to get together and do some stuff together.
Yeah, you can carpool
indeed
to Imaginarium. There you go.
Yes. So Sandy just suggested from the chat room. That'd be awesome. But
yeah.
I think they should do it in style. If it's Matt Lation and Michael and Sandy, they need to get like a bus with like some graphics on the side, like, you know, with each
do
of their pictures
right
on it.
Just, you know, get all the
party
covers
bus
and everything on there.
Yeah. Why not?
That would be badass. But yeah, that's cool. I'm glad that we know some folks down in the Florida region. That's a cool state.
Yeah,
I miss it. I haven't been there in a while.
So, It's so funny how you could go to these conventions and film festivals and on, and you literally do. You meet people. We do it all the time. You know, we meet people in Imaginarium that, like, are from Louisville or from Lexington that we had no – yeah, we don't even know. We're like, how do we not know each other or haven't connected before now? I mean, it's just right. Amazing, you know. But that's the beauty of – you know, attending these conventions. I mean, the networking is just so valuable. The people you can meet and, you know, and connect with, and, you know, if they're close by, maybe even have a project together down the road, or, you know, mentor each other. I mean, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Ever since I moved to Florida, I've actually been kind of in that weird place of like, hey, there's stuff going on, or, you know, it's just far enough away, and I've just moved, and financially I can't afford the trip and whatnot. So, like, I haven't gotten to do, like, an actual, like, in-person convention since I moved down here 3 years ago. And it's definitely one of those things where it's, like, sometime in the not-too-distant future, I definitely want to, you know, go to a convention, even if it's down here.
Right.
And just do the writer thing again, because I miss, you know, being at a table and doing events and things like that. The last one I did was Mysticon up in Virginia. And
yeah, love Mysticon. Good convention.
You know, And it's just always fun being there. I haven't gotten to go to Imaginarium in person. I did one of your digital events.
Yeah, that's right.
Never got
the online version.
You know, even when I lived in Tennessee, like, I never got around to actually being able to do it. So
that's something we'll have to rectify
at some point.
Yes, definitely. You would have so much fun.
It'll be dangerous to get him and Nathan Day together for the full weekend and throw Thomas Moore in the mix. I mean, it would be mayhem. It'd definitely be worth. Everybody should just get a ticket just to see that combo. That would be a great one.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, back when we were doing Authors in Abstract, my podcast that, you know, I was doing with fellow author Tom Farmer and artist Whitney Patelka, like, we had Nathan come on the show a couple of different times. And, you know, when I was still in Knoxville doing that and we were doing it live in person, like, having Nathan come into the studio, like, there were always shenanigans, like, every single time.
Oh, I can imagine.
Authors in Abstract is kind of on a indefinite hiatus right now until, like, life kind of calms down a little bit for all of us, because we've all three of us have been dealing with the things of life the last little bit, and we just stepped away, and it's like, we still want to do the show. It's just a matter of figuring out what that entails. And we've even discussed moving it from, like, traditional, like, you know, podcasting setup to actually doing a live show on Twitch. It's just matter of when we want to come back and actually start it again. And right now, you know, because I would be taking on producing duties.
It's another good place to do them. Because you can put people on there from all over the world.
Yeah.
I do it with people in Germany, England, you know, all that all the time. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the main thing right now is just getting to a point to where it's like, I have the time and the energy to be able to produce. And that's something that I found has been difficult as of late, to balance all the things. So. But it's definitely something I want to return to at some point.
Yeah, trust me. I understand the difficulty in balancing multiple things. It is not easy.
Yes, amen. I get you.
But hopefully you'll get some massive sponsorship of some kind so you can bring your guests to Florida for in-studio visits, and then you'll have Holly and myself on the list so we can get a Florida vacation.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Like, hey, where's your studio at? It's my place. Yeah. Sorry, come on. Don't mind the dog.
That's all right. Yeah, if we get away from here for a little while, you would be our hero.
So, that's true.
Yeah.
Be somewhere in the not too distant future.
Yes.
That was actually half the reason we moved to Florida, was so we could always have like a random, like, hey, let's do a weekend vacation type thing. Like, we're within driving distance of the parks and whatnot, like Universal, Disney, things like that. So my wife and I definitely moved down here just to be big kids together.
And
nice.
You're almost
there, you
near
go.
I kind of missed both of y'all on that.
I said you're almost near the ocean.
Yeah, he is. Close to the ocean.
Yeah, he's on. Yeah, he's got the water going too. But there's some massive events down there, massive fandom events and all. I mean, you're within range of big stuff, medium stuff, and
yeah.
I mean, you got all kinds of stuff you can take advantage of in Florida. A lot of cities that
Megacon,
do a lot there.
Yeah, there's MegaCon, Fanboy comes down here. There's some horror themed conventions that were in Tampa. I can't remember the name of it, but I'd have to look it up. I remember looking into it when I was still living in Orlando, and then of course COVID happened, and you know, we're just now getting to where, you know, we're starting to see, like, you know, in-person events become a regular thing again. So I'll start considering that again as like a realistic possibility. I'll have to restock all my physical books. That way I can actually take them. Cause I actually sold out of my physical inventory here a while back. So
nice.
Oh, wow.
Well done. All right.
That just reminds me to get some more freedom.
All right. We will touch base on that, but great to hear that anytime any authors are making sales, it's always a good thing to celebrate, and hopefully
it's a very good thing.
This time of year, you're moving a few units here near the Christmas season and all that.
Oh,
but
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. And now that we've figured out that you're close to Sandy Lender, she can definitely get you connected with the Asphalt Industry Conventions, because she's the editor for Asphalt Pro. So you can get some exotic conventions in there that are totally different from anything you've ever been to.
Well, she said there's one called Sleuth Fest.
Been blending asphalt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like we always say, you know, there's always a lot under the surface, you know, with the asphalt convention scene. Get it?
Oh, dear. I get you. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you never
okay.
know what's been hidden down there by any means.
Yeah.
That's true.
Sandy probably enjoyed that one.
Very true.
But yeah, there's a lot of great events down there for you to take advantage of, and definitely a good scene. And yeah, that we'll make sure we get you some contacts with some of the awesome folks we know down there. That's definitely, and you can talk to Nathan about Matt and Sandy. He knows them as well. And let's see here. Yeah, but but even though we've had a strange, you know, world the last year or two that hasn't, you know, of course, stopped any of us from, or most of us from writing, at least. And I know that you've always got stuff churning, and you had indicated to me that you have some new stuff on the map coming for 2022. So let's start with on the poetry side of things. You have tell us about the poetry, new poetry book.
Yeah, I actually published a new poetry book called Black Tie, White Noose. On July 4th, actually. It's my first poetry book I've put out in probably 8 years. It was actually,
cool.
I hadn't put out a poetry book since before my first novel, Teddy. And, you know, just throughout the years, it was just like, okay, well, here's a poem here, here's a poem there. And then, like, I would just focus on prose for the longest time. And then I would go through a spell and write a bunch. So there's poetry that was written for this over the course of, you know, all those years. And finally I just had enough to put together. It's like, okay, it's time to finally publish this book I've been thinking about for like the past 5 years.
Awesome. You know, Holly, you want to ask him questions about, yeah, cause you, I love poetry myself, and, but I know that that's a real big thing with you. So you want to tackle a nuance or two about that?
I do love poetry. Where do you get your best inspiration for writing your poetry? Is it like personal things you've went through, trials and or you know, great things that's happened to you. Do you get it from personal, or do you get it from like an outside inspiration?
It's everything. Like, there's no one particular thing. Like, you'll find with my poetry, especially like these days, like some of it's personal, some of it you may think is personal, but it's just me, you know, writing because I had an idea. Some of it's inspired by the world. Some of it's, you know, like my fiction where I'm telling a story, things like that. And then there's just Absurdist Mike where I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to do whatever I want right now and mess with everyone.
Right. Yeah.
Like there's actually a poem in the book that is written entirely in binary.
Oh, wow.
Just to mess with everyone. It's like, okay, have fun. If you want to take the time to go decode that, have fun.
Good luck.
How long of a
poem
are we talking about?
What was that again?
How long of a poem are we talking about?
Binary, I believe, is once it's, you know, in its current form, like a few pages. But, you know, once you, like, put it through and everything, it's probably, like, a page or two of actual, like, lines and whatnot. So,
yeah,
but it was just fun. Like, I went through and wrote a poem like normal, and then I put it through, you know, a program to convert it to binary and published it that way.
That's
one of those things,
neat.
Like, yeah, if anyone wants to take the time to decode it, great. There's a surprise in there. It actually connects in with my regular fiction. But you have to take the time to actually put it through and have it computed back out to figure out what it is.
Oh,
send
my
it
God,
to Magic
that's
Joe, Holly.
For programmers. That's perfect
send
for,
it to Magic
for techies.
Joe.
And, yes,
Joe Fryman.
As I said, we know a
yep.
few people. Wayne Pedersen would love that.
Wayne
I know
Pedersen.
Quite a few people that would. Just find
yeah.
it a challenge and love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
great.
We know a couple that would probably just eat that up. They'd love it. I'm going
mm-hmm.
to send that to
mm-hmm.
them.
I'm always trying to do different things and, like, test things. Like, you know, one of my older poetry books, there was a code that I had put together that, you know, actually had messages throughout the book. You know, usually at the beginning of, like, a thematic chapter or something like that, because I had them divided based on, like, you know, what the theme was of those poems and things like that. But I didn't include a cipher. So it's one of those things where I think only one or two people have ever truly bothered to try to figure it out. And then I had to give them, like, the code, the decoding, just for them to figure it out. And
oh, wow.
I probably couldn't share that with anybody now because the hard drive that the original info was on got fried.
Mm-hmm.
So even
oh,
I don't
man.
Remember what the codes were.
you have to
yeah.
start from scratch now.
That's
yeah.
the one where he had his what? Also where he had his Bitcoin wallet with 100 Bitcoins that, you know,
oh my God.
A terrible tragedy.
Yeah. I don't think Bitcoin was a thing at that point, actually. I might be wrong on that. But...
Let's hope.
Yeah, I just love those stories when people say, yeah, I had $10 million of Bitcoin, and then my hard drive just fried. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
It's tragic.
But you got a great cover. Yeah, and it's on Top Hat, Daniel. He's got a Top Hat on the cover of Black Ties, White Noose. Yes, he does.
Right.
It's on the Joker card there in the middle. It's awesome. I pulled it up there on Amazon.
What would be interesting is if you did a sci-fi and you had, you know, like R2-D2 characters or something like that, and they spoke in binary and everybody else spoke in regular English or whatever.
Right.
And you'd have to translate the binary to know what they said back to them.
Yeah, I think you could become the best-selling author among computer programmers. He's giving you like a massive idea here. But, oh man, that's crazy.
Oh,
I'm definitely
oh the
this
amount.
Is cool. Yeah. Yeah, see, you got it on Kindle Unlimited. It is available on Kindle Unlimited or $2.99 on the ebook price, and the paperback price is great. You know, it's $11 on that on Amazon.
And if you get it in the seminary, it's free.
And I saw it's your first poetry book since 2013. So, yeah, that's a few years there since the last full poetry book. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That 8 years kind of just snuck by on me while I was off doing other things. I want to talk about that cover, though, for a second. A while back, I had a reader reach out to me. She had actually been at Mysticon and seen one of the panels I was on. I had done this panel. It's actually on YouTube where we did this author dating game, where the authors would go up and essentially play characters from their books. Get asked questions like they were on the dating show. And I was playing, my character Teddy from, my Teddy Dormer novels. And this reader actually really liked the concept and everything for the book and then forgot my name. And went away. It took her months to remember what the information was to find my book. And she went online, bought it, and then looked me up online to find me and messaged me after she had read it.
Very cool.
And it turns out, she was an artist and, approached me. It's like, hey, if there's ever a project that, you're looking to collaborate on or something like that, let me know. And I was like, well, I have this,
just so happens,
and we just started like pitching, I started pitching ideas, and it was literally one of those things where, and she would ask me what I was looking for, and I would just like have these long conversations with her of just trying to throw out ideas, and then she would work on stuff, and then we'd look at it and be like, that's not quite working, let's try this. But I knew one of the things I wanted for sure on the cover was that, Joker card that you see on the front. And then everything else we kind of figured out from there. And the front cover connects to the back. And it was just a great experience. You can find her online, actually. It's Raven Shaw Art.
I love the name.
But it was such a great experience as far as, having that cover done. It took us some time to land on a final version, but it definitely has that kind of mischievous but dark feeling to it that, is so prevalent, especially in my poetry, but also just in my work in general. So it's definitely one of my favorite covers to date that I've got for one of my projects.
Yeah, it looks great.
That's
and,
cool.
We've got the black and red kind of color scheme going on, and definitely draws you in. That's a cool cover. Cool, very cool. And but now on the author side of things, as far as prose goes, you have a new book coming called Blood Rights that you'd mentioned to me earlier. And it's coming hopefully this year. So, give us an update on that, too.
I'm hoping to have it out by the end of 2022. But it's a book of fiction. It's not a novel. It's going to be a book of stories, some short, some on the novella side. There's even going to be a screenplay in there. I had originally written, years ago. I had one of my short stories that will also be in this book, get adapted into a short film. And after that, I went off and spent a week writing the first draft of the script. At the time, I talked to a couple of different indie directors, in the Tennessee area about doing it, and things just didn't happen. And then it's because this is how my brain works, it ended up connecting in to the mythology of my other work, my novels and things like that. So I'm actually going back in and expanding it to where it wouldn't be super low budget, but writing it more like I would my novels. And it's going to be part of the collection now. It's still going to be in screenplay format. It's just I'm not going to worry so much about things like budget. So some of the things that I would cut away on in the original draft, you'll actually see those things written on the screenplay this time around.
That sounds like awesome. A collection with short stories, novellas, and screenplays. That is awesome. And why not? Yeah. A lot of folks do enjoy reading screenplays. A lot of folks are curious about them. They don't get a chance to read them often in any type of published format. It's not always too common for a lot of readers.
Is it something that you're thinking about making into a screen?
You mean as far as, having a
movie?
If the right circumstances came along, yeah, absolutely. It's just a matter of if that happens. That's the thing. I'm always interested in doing adaptations. I've had the one short film, made previously. Of course, I wrote this feature, co-wrote it with Alex Bram called Antarctica. That was the project that, I went to Los Angeles for. I'm really hoping that gets produced. We've actually got a couple of actors attached to it, one of which is Dee Wallace. So I'm really
Fantastic.
Hoping that does get off the ground. So it's just a matter of, you know how things go in filmmaking.
Thanks
it's
a while.
Like, hey, we've got this project, and it's like, it's just a matter of getting the funding and being able to move forward. So
we got my favorite actress from my favorite werewolf movie of all time, The Howling. So you're off to a great start there. Fantastic, man.
Yeah,
oh,
she was
God,
actually the
awesome.
First person we attached to that. And it was one of those things where Alex, my co-writer, came to me at one point. We already had a draft done. And he's like, so I had talked to Dee Wallace about another project at one point, and I kind of want to pass this by her for this. Can you do XYZ this weekend for the script? I'm like, yeah. So I canceled my plans that weekend and worked on the script. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's just a matter of waiting to see what comes of it. Of course, I'm not talking too much about storyline or anything. I'm letting Alex do more of that on his, side of things, since he's looking to want to direct it and everything. And that NDA makes me go, I don't want to talk too much about it.
No, we know you can't.
Name. And so,
about how many minutes would it be?
It is around 110 minutes.
Okay. What about the one in your new book?
I'm still working on the new version. The original draft was 70, and I'm probably looking at expanding it to closer to 90, because I'm going to be expanding the ending and reworking it a bit.
Nice.
So you've got about 90 pages that you'll be doing?
90K
roughly.
Probably words. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, of
on
course,
the book,
then again, like,
that's...
on a regular prose, you're looking at probably about that much, but when you're looking at screenplay, like, it doesn't always do the same because of formatting. A lot of times, like, if it's a dialogue heavy page, you're not going to have nearly as many words on that page.
Unless you're Tarantino,
mm-hmm.
you got dialogue all over the place.
Tarantino is a different story. Yeah, Tarantino is a different story.
Yeah,
then you get a lot of dialogue on the page. But yeah, typically you're absolutely right. But having an attachment though raises the chances exponentially though for a project moving forward.
Yep.
I mean, having a credible attachment that's big. I mean, and that's kudos to you all on that, because that puts you in a whole different category for getting a possible funding green light and all that good stuff. So good job, man.
Oh yeah. Thank you. I'm really excited about it. We've gotten really great feedback from everyone who's looked at the script and everything. So for someone who has not really dabbled in the Hollywood arena until now, I think I have good vibes about this. So I'm just hoping that, you know, things continue like they are. So excellent. But yeah, as far as Blood Rights goes, though, like it's definitely one of those projects where, you know, there were stories that have not been released or have not been put into actual print. They've been Kindle only that I wanted to put out in a physical book form. And there's also been a lot of stories that I haven't gotten to get out to people. So this was kind of my way of being like, all right, so let's get all these stories together before I start ramping up for the end of the Damnation Saga and have them all out. That way, you know, all these little side things can come together and tie in with everything before it all comes to a nice conclusion.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice, man.
So I've pretty much got the next few years figured out as far as, like, what I'm writing. Because Blood Rights is going to be next year, and then I'm writing a new Teddy novel after that. And then I'll be returning to work on the Damnation Dirge trilogy, which will wrap up the Damnation Saga I've been working on these past few years.
Excellent. Yeah, you'd mentioned, I think, on your last visit that you had a new novel coming up in that series. So that's good news, and good to see that that's still on course for the writing side of things. But
the main thing
is finding
the time and getting it out there.
Yep, that's always the tough thing. But you do have something finished, and it's in the pipeline now because we've talked about it. You were promoting it actually on the last show a bit, and we had some of your partners in crime that are on the project that were working on a Sylvia Wolf-Bush short film that Holly was a part of, and I helped Holly out with that a little bit. But that's of course R.G. Westerman and Nathan Day, and the project, of course, Through the Tempest Black. And so I know you want to probably give a few updates on that project because that's, you know, the fundraiser was turned out pretty successful, and looks like from what I've seen, at least, it's from Nate watching some of Nathan's comments, it's getting ready to move to port, and good cover art and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, you probably have a few words to say about that one too.
Oh yeah, it's been a great project to be a part of, and like, of course, no one really has access to this except for, you know, the authors who are involved, but we're all in this Facebook chat together, and just like, it'll be quiet for a while, and then the next thing you know, we're just all up to shenanigans in that chat. So it's been entertaining to be able to interact with everyone, knowing that we're all in on this project and that we've got these wildly different stories that are going in with this similar like through thread for them all. And I'm really excited to see what it's like. Nathan actually came to me about it and did not give me a choice. He told me I was writing a story for this anthology, whether I liked it or not.
That's Nathan. That's Nathan.
And I was like, okay. And my story for it is called Faith. And it's one of those things where it's like I thought about it for like a day or so, trying to figure out what I was going to do. And you know, I'd always thought it would be interesting to write like a Lovecraftian story. And then like on a totally different thing, I had always been wanting to write about a cult. And those two thought processes kind of came together and I had the idea and I was like, okay, I know what I'm going to do. Nathan, can I do whatever I want as long as like it has a Lovecraftian like theme to it? And he's like, yeah. It's like, okay, I'm going to go do the thing now. And It's fun. It's definitely one of those short stories where, you know, you just kind of bang it out real quick and then it just works like immediately. And I'm really excited to see what people think about this story. It's definitely some of the most fun on a short story I've had in a while.
Well, that's good to hear.
Very nice. Yeah.
I can't wait to read it. Yeah,
and luckily
yeah,
he said that you all had
a lot of fun. Nate said it was a lot of fun, and he said what's so neat about it is that, like he said, all the stories are so vastly different, however, have a common, you know, commonality with Lovecraftian worlds. So that's going to be fascinating. That is really
yeah.
going to be fascinating.
Yeah, for me, it was one of those things where I wanted to write a story that could tie into my own mythologies and whatnot, but at the same time was very dark and very visceral mm-hmm. at the same time. And it was just a blast. Like, it did not take me long at all to write the first draft on that story. And it was just one of those where it just came together almost effortlessly. And I'm really happy with how that turned out. I think Nathan was too. I'm assuming he was. Like, it's in the book, so.
Yeah, he says he was. Yeah. Yeah, he says, wait till you read Michael.
Yeah, he did. I can vouch. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And
yeah, he enjoyed
it. You had a good group around you. I mean, I was really impressed with the group of authors, you know, Julie Kimbrell, Tom Farmer, Rob Hoff, the award-winning Rob Hoff. He's a character, and I love the guy, but he's in there. And Casey Miracle, who I also should have brought up. Casey was an actor on the recent movie Blood and Creed with Sylvia Wolf Bush. So, yeah, there
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I just yeah, seen three. Him Sunday.
Yeah. So, but yeah, a lot of good folks in this group. Jared Humes, Billy Boyd. God, it's hard for me to remember everybody in that group.
I know there's so many.
That's a chunk of them. That's a few of them.
Great group. Yeah. Great group.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the newcomers, you know, on the scene, which is going to be really neat for people to, mm-hmm. you know, get a chance to see what, you know, they're about. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
There was actually a couple of where, like, I talked to him and then talked to Nathan and got him involved. So, like, Tom Farmer, for instance, is, you know, a personal friend of mine. You know, he was one of my co-hosts for Authors and Abstract, and that was, like, one of those obvious, like, Tom, are you doing this anthology? And he was like, what anthology? Dude, talk to Nathan. So I got him involved.
You need to get
and
in
then,
on
this.
Yeah.
And there was one of the other authors, P.L. McMillan, I had met online. She had actually – I met her because she had popped into my Twitch stream, actually, and we started talking outside of the Twitch stream. But
cool.
I ended up talking to her and got her involved. So that's how her involvement with the anthology came about. So I was like, yeah, if I'm going to be doing this anthology, I'm going to try to get other people I know to get involved. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and the artwork that's been developed toward this looks just amazing. I've seen, you know, just stuff that was made for the project and the different reward levels to, you know, the actual cover art, which is just, I mm-hmm. mean, just amazing. Yeah. So I think it's going to pop when this thing gets printed. And
it's always neat to give you something to work on that challenges you, you know, that you can have fun with, you know, and you step outside your box, even though, like you said, you were tying it into your own, like, mythos. But, you know, it's something you can just enjoy. It's a, you know, short story. You can sit down and just enjoy writing. You know, not as stressful as like writing a full length novel, obviously, you know, so you can have fun with it and, get to collab, you know, with some other cool writers. And like you said, you had the Facebook group and all, and yeah, it's just a neat project, and it's neat to step outside your comfort zone once in a while and do something different, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about short stories too, and this is just me, like, from a creative standpoint, sometimes it's easier to do something bizarre and off the wall in a short story than in a novel. If you just mm-hmm. want to do something that's just different and run with it for a bit, like, short story is sometimes the best way to, you know, work that kind of thing out, because, you know, sometimes, like, you don't necessarily know how to make that into a longer work. You don't necessarily know how to, like, build into that sort of thing. Whereas in a shorter canvas, as far as, like, you know, shorter as far as, like, your word counts and everything else,
mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily have to support it for as long. You know, you can condense it, and sometimes it's mm-hmm. just more impactful that way. Whereas, you know, a novel, you have to definitely go through the paces of, like, okay, so we're going to have some downtime. We're going to do some development. Okay, we're building to this thing, et cetera, et cetera. No, short stories are full speed ahead. You're done.
Right. Right. You get a lot more. It's a lot more substance and punch right in there than it is, mm-hmm. you know, filling the fluff in. So, yeah, it's a little different.
Wild ride.
As they say, you know, it's a wild ride.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's a...
Oh, yeah. It's essentially like jumping on a roller coaster for 3 minutes.
Yeah. That's exactly
well,
right.
Well, that's why I find the novella format so interesting, because it's kind of that nice little
mm-hmm.
tweener zone where you get elements of the short story, but you also get a little more room to, you know, do some things like like a full-length novel. So it's a real nice kind of tweener, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be neat to read your collection with you having a novellas in there as well. So, you know, get the chance to see your short fiction, your novella stuff, and your screenplay, of course. And then, you know, of course, your novels are out there. So that's
right.
You're covering all the bases. Definitely.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
awesome. Well, what's really interesting too, it's like, you know, I'm able to like switch gears and do different genres and whatnot at the same time. So like the last story that's going into Blood Rites is actually kind of a mismatch of like sci-fi and fantasy and horror all at the same time. And it's definitely a novella. It was one of those where I'd started writing it for an anthology I intended to submit it to at a 10,000 word limit. And it ended up being 25,000 words.
Nice.
It grew.
Yeah, it was one
well,
of those where it's like I was trying to write it shorter, and it just didn't want to be that mm-hmm. short. It needed more detail and fleshing out, and it's just like, okay, I guess I'll let you be longer.
You win.
Well, that's how it goes
what
sometimes.
I was thinking, but, yo, here you go.
That's it.
But sometimes, yeah, that's where you gotta go where the flow is taking you. So, yeah, if something evolves from
mm-hmm.
the short to novella or novella to novel, I mean, yeah, if the road goes there, go with it. Yeah, definitely
yeah,
go with that
sometimes
momentum.
You just gotta let this, yeah, sometimes
I'm
you just got to let the story be what
thinking.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm going to shift gears on us. I know that
you've
done things with video games. Do you write video games or you just play video games?
Oh, I just play. I would love to get into a situation where I'm working on a video game, but I haven't had that kind of opportunity arise yet.
You
so there you go, people.
Yep.
If you're out there listening, you know, you got a great storyteller here. You know, if you're a game mm-hmm. developer, listen
yep.
up.
Yep. You'd be a good one for a game project, no doubt. And looks
yeah.
like I'll pass along that Rob wanted me to let you know that he is listening tonight. He's lurking, but he's having some trouble, I guess, signing into getting a chat room, but he is lurking out there and listening.
Oh, I can never Rob sign off. Into your chat. Like,
yeah,
every time
off.
I come in here, like, I try to jump into the chat, and it's just like, no, you can't get into the chat. Sorry, not going to happen.
Yeah, sometimes I have to do it like 3 times, then I'm finally in. I'm good.
Yeah, it's finicky.
Sometimes it takes a few times.
It's definitely finicky, but hopefully, you know, like I said, that's the only thing we run into tonight. But it looks good.
Yeah.
It looks like we are, we made it longer than last time, just so you know. We're trucking along.
Yeah.
but Rob did want to say that, yeah, he's listening out there tonight. But yeah, so well, the video game segue is not a bad one at all, because it gives a chance to talk to you a little bit about what you got going on as far as your Twitch activities, as far as game streaming and whatnot. I know Holly's son Noah just got downloaded Halo today, and he's probably going to disappear for the next week. We're probably not going to see him, so because he's got the new Halo.
Yeah.
But what are you playing?
That's about it.
Yeah. But what are you playing, and how's that channel going, and what's the latest streaming stuff you've been doing on there?
Well, I've had to take a short hiatus on streaming because life being what it is. I plan on getting back to it. I've been more concerned with, like, mental health and things like that lately, so mm-hmm. I stepped away from streaming, but I'm still playing video games like crazy. Like, I've been doing a lot of Dead by Daylight, which is a lot of what I stream, actually. I usually stream that with friends. But I'm definitely going to be getting Halo as soon as I'm able. I just couldn't get it to launch. So Halo Infinite will definitely be something I'm doing, because, like, Halo just is one of those franchises that I've been playing pretty much ever since the beginning. Like, Halo 2
was
the reason I got
on Xbox. You probably played it since the beginning, yeah, like my son, yeah. Yeah.
What issue of Halo's coming out or came out?
What was that again?
What issue of Halo has come out now?
So, technically, it's the mainline game, but it's really the, like, 10th. Halo game overall,
yeah.
Like, because they've had the main games. They've got
mm-hmm.
Halo 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then this one is Infinite. But they've also
mm-hmm.
had games that
Halo
are outside
Wars.
The main. Yeah, there's the Halo Wars game. There's
yeah.
two of those. There was Halo 3 ODST, which was based on the same Halo engine that 3 used, but it told a different story away from Master Chief.
Right.
And then there was Halo Reach, which was a prequel, and that was the last game that Bungie did. And honestly, that's
mm-hmm.
still one of my favorite games of the franchise. Like, Microsoft actually has this thing up right now where it's the Microsoft, like, the Xbox Museum online, where you can go
uh-huh.
in and learn about, like, the history of Xbox and everything. But there's also a section where you can go in and find out your history of gaming on Xbox. It'll look at your account.
Oh, cool.
And, the game that I have logged the most hours in of any game on Xbox is Halo Reach.
Oh, wow.
So.
See, well, Noah said, my son, he said earlier that this one here, the new one that he's playing today, reminds him a lot of, like, the original storyline.
I've heard
and
a lot
original,
of people saying that, yeah.
Yes. And he said it's just phenomenal because he loved that. He says it's like, you know, going back to my childhood, you know. And yeah, he says it's just great. It's like nostalgia, you know. But
yeah.
I did go downstairs a while ago, and I took a peek at the graphics, and it's just crazy. It's just
oh, yeah.
insane. You know, I always say they can't get better. Well, they always do, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's insane. It really is insane. The aircrafts, the spacecrafts, and everything. I mean, it looks like you're really there. It really does.
Oh yeah.
So what version of my game have they came out to? I played Pong.
Pong is still Pong.
I don't think they ever
really
upgraded it.
That. Yeah.
No, they never really gave it a facelift.
Yeah, the only, like, if you want to look back at, like, you know, some of the earliest video games and stuff like that, like, things like Tetris have gotten upgrades.
Yes, they have. I love Tetris.
Yeah, it's Holly's game.
So,
yeah.
Like,
gotta love it.
Like, there's a newer Tetris game that came out in the last couple of years that's on Xbox and whatnot, that's on Game Pass. I tried it out.
Ooh.
So that's a thing.
Probably the natural. Yeah, she's so good at it. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, I mean, you would think you could have a whole pile of stuff and think there's no way in the world that would fit in a trunk. She'll find a way. I mean, she calls it Tetrising, but she's a master at Tetris.
I think on the Switch has this. I'm not 100% sure. Somebody might be able to correct me on this, but there's a version on the Switch called Tetris 99 or something like that, where it's literally you versus like 98 other players, and as you're playing,
wow,
you can drop bricks on other people, and it's a battle royale Tetris game.
Holly would like that. That's a Holly Bailey right there.
I'm going to check this out. Well, my son Martin's coming to spend a week this weekend, and he's got a Switch. And I told him to bring his, and then my oldest grandchildren and my daughter-in-law, they're coming Saturday and staying Saturday and Sunday, and they're bringing their Switch. So maybe between them, we can figure this out.
It is on Switch. It's called Tetris 99. It came out in February of 2019. So, and I think you just have to have an online membership to play it. It's free based on what I'm seeing.
Really?
Nice.
Well, there we go, because I'm sure Martin does. I know my son Martin has online. So. There we go. Do what, Daniel?
Is Switch just online, or is it a gaming system?
Mm.
Oh, it's the Nintendo Switch. It's the latest Nintendo console.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the upgraded Wii is what, more or less, but it's the new Nintendo console. We have a entertainment center in our living room. You would love it.
You'd love
it. It's got cubicles, and we've got all these old game systems. And people hate on the Wii, but I don't care. I enjoy my Wii, and I'm going to keep enjoying my Wii, and they can just, be happy.
Yep.
But I like my Wii. But we have, like, the Atari in there, the Atari 2600.
A ColecoVision.
That goes
console.
Into the ColecoVision. We've got a Retron that plays, what does it play, 64?
NES, Super NES, and Genesis and all. Yeah. It's totally retro.
Mm-hmm.
it's definitely a time travel
retro
thing.
Retro games, you would just love
hey,
it.
Holly,
it's yeah.
Does your Wii have a little piggy on it?
A wee little piggy. Wee all the way home.
Oh no!
No, but I should put a little sticker of a piggy on there and say that's wee wee.
Oh,
wee wee all the way
home.
Oh,
that's crazy.
See, I got it. What's your favorite system then, Michael? Is it the newer Xbox or the One, or what's your favorite?
Well, this past generation, I was more of a PlayStation gamer, so I was definitely running it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been running a PS4 Pro mainly, but I acquired an Xbox One, I don't know, about 3-4 years ago now, and would play it here and there. I mainly got it so I could play Halo, and then I discovered Forza Horizon racing games and loved those. And then last month, just because I needed something to focus on because, life was being a thing, I ended up putting a lot more time on the Xbox, and I decided to revisit Halo. So I ended up blasting through pretty much the entire series in the past month, up until obviously not having Infinite, but like I hadn't played 4 or 5. I stopped, when 4 came out, I played like part of the campaign, and at the time I just wasn't getting into it. So I was like, Infinite's about to come out. I have no idea what's going on anymore. I need to play these games. So I finally played 4 and actually, I finally got around to playing all the way through 4 and actually enjoyed it this time around. Played 5 and, loved the graphics. It was a beautiful game. The storyline, though, I was just like, what are y'all doing?
What's going on? Yeah.
It's like, what have you done with the... Okay. Y'all are just...
Right.
The farther we get into this game, the weirder it gets. Okay. All right.
Yeah. That's what and, that's, that do. Yeah.
That's one thing I've heard where it's like the developers, 343, they ended up, you know, taking a lot of that feedback, and they're still continuing mm-hmm. the story from that, but they've also, like, pretty much tried to dig themselves out of the hole and go back to what people like about Halo. And
that's
from
it.
What
that's
I've been
probably why they went back to, you know, a lot of their original, yeah, yeah, feeling.
So,
mm-hmm.
but it looks interesting. Like, they've gone from, like, a linear, you know, pretty much level setup to now it's an open world type setup. So you can actually choose
right.
how you proceed and whatnot. And it looks really interesting. So I played a little bit of the multiplayer because it's free to play the multiplayer online and they released it first. And it
right.
felt a lot like old school Halo with,
yeah.
you know, shinier graphics. And I'm like, okay, this is feeling
yep.
good.
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah, he's very pleased.
Yeah, so
very
we're probably
pleased.
Going to probably going to forget that Noah lives here. He's probably going to be like disappear for the next week. Probably forget he's here. He may
yeah.
come out for food.
Yeah.
I don't
he
know.
Plays. He plays on the on his computer now, though.
He's a PC
he's
gamer.
Pretty much
yeah,
went over
PC
to
gamer.
That. Yeah, he don't play on his Xbox as much anymore. He mainly just. PC now. He's went to mainly PC, which I didn't think he'd ever get away from Xbox, but he did because he went to PS4 like you, you know, because
yeah.
he just said, well, it was better, you know, it just was better. And then now he's kind of transitioned to the PC.
Yeah,
and that's
he's
what
got
he's
a monster. He's
on.
Got a monster
mm-hmm.
system, though. I'm
yeah.
I don't get jealous, but whatever's close to jealous. I mean, yeah, I mean, I wish I could get
yeah.
my hands on that system. He's got a monster
yeah,
system
no
down there.
We got a lot
one
done.
Of my personal. Yeah, one of my personal rules is I leave the computer for the writer stuff. So
right.
even though I know gaming on a PC theoretically could be better. I'm just like, no, because mm-hmm. that's one more distraction from writing I don't need on my computer.
Or
so
you
do,
like
do
Steven. Now, Steven writes on
thing.
A Mac.
An old
Mac,
Mac that has no connection
in
to the internet.
Room.
It's in another room.
Yeah.
It's not even my main PC that I use for any business or anything
not
else.
Not up to internet, you know,
strictly
nothing.
For writing.
Nothing.
I keep a separate computer for writing and nothing online. I have zero distractions on that computer. It's 100%
yep.
for writing, and it worked. It's worked. it's nice because it kind of snaps me into zone when I get in there. But I know exactly
yeah.
what you mean. Yeah, you don't want distractions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like
any sort.
I use the same computer for running like my stream setup for Twitch through it. But that's
right.
kind of the only like gaming sort of thing I really have set up to my computer. And then it's like
mm-hmm.
from where it's a laptop, I can just. Disconnect all that and, you know, pick it up and go to another room and work on what I need to if I need to. And so it's definitely one of those things where there are some nights where it's like, okay, I just want to veg or I want to stream, you know, and I'll do the gaming thing. And then there are some nights where it's just like, okay, it's time to go down the rabbit hole and write.
Yep.
Right.
And these days it's just a matter of trying to find that balance of, like, what the mental health needs. Because that's definitely mm-hmm. something I feel like over the last 2 years has been more of a focus I've had to do just because life in the world and things like that. So
yeah,
sure.
it's
I understand.
Affected us all.
Yeah,
yes, it
has not
yeah.
not been the most easy climate
well,
to deal with.
Normal.
Sure.
You know, we haven't had
yeah.
normal living for so long
mm-mm.
now, and we had to you know humans. Thank God are can adapt. You know, we are adaptable, but it really affects our mental health when you put us in isolation and we can't be around each other. And creatives, we enjoy being, you know, we like our alone time and downtime, but we
yeah.
also enjoy being around each other and throwing around ideas and talking shop with, you know,
exactly.
fellow creators, people like us, you know.
We're packing.
Yeah, yeah, we are. We're pack animals. You get to tribe, and we need to be around each other, and it's hard. Yeah, Zoom isn't the same. I mean, it helped, but it's not the same, you know.
Yeah, it's better than nothing, but yeah, it's not the same. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been difficult. It really has, and yeah, your mental health definitely takes front stage. That has to, you know, you have to do what's best for you. Regardless of what anybody else thinks, you have to do what's best for you.
Yeah, well, like last month, for instance, like last month, I wasn't working on a novel or anything. I was working on a project for Blood Rights, and I was going to do that for NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month. And I managed that for a grand total of 3 days before life happened. And I just, at that point, you know, when things kind of went crazy. I don't want to get into details here because, you know, personal.
Sure, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
Those things happened, and I was just like, no, I'm stepping away. I can't focus on this right now. And I definitely, you know, spent a little bit of time just, you know, going off and doing the things that, you know, at least let me veg and detach and kind of process and things like that. And sometimes it's the best thing to do as well. Like a lot of, you know, creatives, we get hard on ourselves about, you know, hey, I'm not doing the thing right now. But the thing is, as creatives, we're always doing the thing, whether we're actively writing or not, because we're still thinking.
Yep, that's true.
And, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes, you know, taking that break is exactly what we need, because then we come back and we write something better or create something better than what we would have during that time where we weren't doing as well, you know, mentally. So it's definitely one of those things where it's like, you know, I do think about those deadlines that are in my head of, I want to publish this by the end of next year. But then I think about, okay, that might be the case, but I need to make sure I'm taking care of myself too at the same
time.
So
yeah.
100%. It's definitely a balancing act. And, you know, creatives like us where, you know, we have other things that we're doing too in our life. Like I have a day job. Like you have to still factor that in. Not everyone could be like Stephen King and, you know, write, you know, 6 to 7, 8 hours a day, you know, and that be his day. And then he can go off and do other things. I don't have that luxury. So it's definitely one of those things where, you know, like so many of us, you know, it's like, hey, my wife just went to bed. All right, let's spend 1 or 2 hours writing. And then go to bed for the night, you know, so that's how a lot of my writing gets done, is just in the hours I can steal while I'm still conscious.
Right. Do you have like any writing rituals? I mean, like, do you listen to music, or do you write in certain spots of your house, or do you have like any rituals?
Music. Usually instrumental. A lot of it will be like film soundtracks, video game soundtracks sometimes. I'll have, you know, sometimes I'll pull it from my own iTunes account. Sometimes I'll throw up Spotify or something like that. I tend to listen to a lot of like Nine Inch Nails or Trent Reznor instrumentals.
Cool.
Because they just work. You know, Hans Zimmer is another great one. A lot of times I'll listen to
great last name.
Yeah. A lot of times I'll listen to like a Final Fantasy composer, Nobuo Uematsu, who did a lot of, you know, their games. It just depends on like what mood I'm in or what I'm working on. And that's usually exactly what I need. Occasionally I'll throw some like music on that's lyrical, but it's usually because I'm looking for a specific mood. So that's usually how I go about it. But I'll have like a playlist, just play at random, and then I'll just dive in and write.
Okay. I hate to be a party pooper for a second, but we've got about 6 minutes left in the regular show, and I want to make sure that he gets a chance to tell everybody where they can find him on the regular show before we go into extra time.
Definitely.
Yeah, not a problem. Best place to find me. There's several places. First off, I do have my own website. It's michaeldavidanderson.com. If you want to check out my Twitch shenanigans when I get back up and running, it's twitch.tv/shadesofmidnight. All one word. And you'll see the spelling and whatnot of that in the show description as well. If you're wondering, you know, wait a second, did I hear that right? Or anything along those lines. You can also follow me on Twitter at Shade of Midnight Singular, because Twitter didn't want me to have enough characters to be plural. And that's something you should never do to a writer, is limit how many characters we can use. And then, of course, you can find me on Facebook at author Michael David Anderson. And then you can also find my streaming side of things as well at Shades of Midnight TV.
Very cool. Is there anything that you wanted to discuss further before, you know, we have about 5 minutes left here in the regular show? Is there anything we haven't talked about that you wanted to talk about?
We talked about, like, the new stuff and whatnot. I guess one of the things that I'll throw out there for anyone who's listening who isn't familiar with my work so far, I'll talk a little bit about what's out of the Damnation Saga so far.
Yeah, cool.
Because people are like, what is this Damnation Saga he's talking about? Why should I check it out? So it starts with Teddy. That's book one. And Teddy is essentially about a young man, Teddy Dormer, who, in order to sleep, inadvertently steals the dreams of those around him. Anyone within a mile radius of him is afflicted with insomnia. And he has no control over this at all. He pretty much, you know, moves from place to place every night. That way he's not afflicting the same population with insomnia. And the book opens with him being in a hotel in Texas, experiencing the dream of a woman who's been kidnapped. So he wakes up and then sets out to go try to find her.
All right.
Wow.
And then, of course, shenanigans happen from there, because, you know, it's never that simple.
Right. No, of course not.
So to be able to remember the dreams vividly, or?
Oh, yeah. He pretty much has, like, a perfect recall of the dreams. They're almost like memories for him. Like, for him, experiencing the dreams is like us being awake going through our regular lives.
Oh, wow.
So he's able to recall everything. He's able to go back and analyze dreams, you know, and figure out, like, wait, what did this mean? Wait, did I miss something there? Like, he doesn't always get it right, but he can go back and think about it and be like, wait, this is why I'm getting this wrong, and kind of go from there. And it's very psychologically, you know, engaging as a result, just trying to figure out the puzzle of, wait, what's really going on? Because obviously you can't trust a dream, but you can sometimes see the hints of why something is this way in the real world because of what you see in the dream. So it's always interesting to see, like, how that plays out depending on whose dreams he's experiencing.
That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, we got Teddy, and then book two, we've got Wake, and then book three,
right.
Desynchrony, if I pronounce that hopefully correctly, and then Flux.
You did.
And then In House of Wolves. So, yes, there is quite a bit for you to explore, folks, on Amazon and wherever you get your – well, I'm assuming Amazon, because I see they're on Kindle Unlimited, so the e-books at least are there.
Yeah,
but,
Amazon is the easiest place to get them. The one thing I should clarify, though, is not every book in the Damnation Saga is a Teddy book. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Teddy and Wake are Teddy stories. Desynchrony follows a character that's in the Teddy books, is a different, you know, isn't Teddy himself. Flux is a Teddy story, and then In the House of Wolves follows a different set of characters in a haunted house. But it's set in the same world, and it's going to be important for later books in the Damnation Saga as well.
So how many books will that have at the end? Or have you decided that yet?
So essentially, in terms of full-length novels, you're looking at 7 full-length novels and then 2 shorter novellas. And then there's going to be additional stories in Blood Rites that will also tie in.
Very nice.
And have you thought about, like, the way this sounds, it sounds like it'd be a fascinating video game even. I mean, seriously, that would be really cool. But have you thought about, like, looking into doing maybe a screenplay of this? Or have you done a screenplay of Teddy? Or
I have not.
You know, the character.
I have thought that Teddy would be interesting as a show, possibly like on Amazon or Netflix or anything along those lines. I think I would want to work with other people to work on that. I wouldn't want to be the sole writer for that kind of project, because I'm very much the type of writer where if I've worked on a story already and I've gotten to the point where I consider it finished, I don't want to go back to it. Because otherwise I'll never get to like the later stuff. So like I have ideas on what could be done for, you know, like adaptations, but I would definitely want to work with other writers to be able to do that. Plus, you know, like that's the thing, like, adaptations should be that adaptations. They shouldn't be exactly like, you know, the book or the story or whatnot. You have to take some liberties to make that transition. And I already know, you know, one thing in particular I would end up changing literally for the first episode of Teddy. I would actually start it in a different place and then work up to the beginning of the book. Whereas, you know, the book starts in the perfect place. The show, for me, would make sense just for, you know, for viewers to kind of get, you know, synced up with something that happens later in the show. It would actually create a nice kind of synchrony between multiple plot points. So I would definitely change the opening for the show versus the book. It's just a matter of getting it optioned, getting the right team involved, that sort of thing. And maybe down the line that will happen, but right now I'm just kind of focusing on projects as they are now and hoping that those types of opportunities develop as we go on.
Yeah, because it does sound like it'd be a fascinating story. You definitely got a cool vision there.
See... the way I kind of look at it is Teddy would be one season, Wake would be a second season, and then the Synchrony and Flux could probably work as like special episodes. And then In the House of Wolves could probably be an actual film. And then the next Teddy book.
Is Teddy sort of like the Eyes of Laura Mars?
I would say no. I would say no to that.
Okay.
Like, Teddy is definitely one of these where it's, I would say it's its own beast. It definitely, like, even from, you know, what you know of Teddy as a character, you don't necessarily know where the plot's going to go. And it goes into some pretty crazy places. Like, I have people who read the first book, and they come to me around the halfway point, and they're like, what have you done? Wait, what?
Twist.
It's like, wait, everything just turned upside down. Wait, what?
I love those, though, you know, because then you're like, whoa, what, you know, and then that keeps the reader coming back for more.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But, go ahead. Sorry, Michael.
Oh, no, go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
Oh, no. It's your show.
You're cutting out.
Oh, did I
cut
out?
Yeah, you did cut
out. Oh, dear. Uh-oh, we're having... Not now. Not now. No technical problems. No, go ahead, Michael. No, as I say, it's your show.
But, yeah, no, essentially what I was going to say is, like, you know, Teddy would be its own thing. Wake would be a season. The Synchrony and Flux would just be smaller, like, kind of special episodes. The next Teddy novel I'm planning on writing, which I plan to call Pariahs, would be another full season if we were able to do it. And then I don't know how I would treat the Damnation Dirge trilogy, but it would have to be like the very end of it. And I could see mm-hmm. each one of those easily being like a season's worth of content. But what's going to be interesting about that trilogy is technically books 1 and 2 take place at the same time. So they would have to overlap.
Right.
Because essentially, like, book one will follow one set of characters, and then book two will follow mm-hmm. a different set of characters. And then at the end of book two, the characters from book one converge with what's going on in book two, and that leads into book three.
Oh, it sounds like a fun series to ride in.
Yeah,
fun world.
Oh, yeah. It definitely does.
It's a big sandbox, and it's one of those things where – yeah, because I've already written quite a bit of material for Damnation Dirge, and then I realized I finally had an idea for a new Teddy book, like a standalone Teddy book that I would be interested in writing, because I kind of have this rule. It's like I don't write sequels unless mm-hmm. it's an interesting concept for its own book. So, like, for me, like, when I went into writing Wake, the second Teddy book, it was because I had an interesting idea that was radically different from what was in the first book. I hate going into a series as a reader where there's 7 or 8 books and then all of your major character development happens in book one and then it's just status quo throughout the rest of the series. There's no major developments for the character. Like, case in point, Dean Koontz, I've read his work since I was a kid. And really enjoyed, like, the early books of the Odd Thomas series, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I realized with the Odd Thomas series is, at least from my point of view, all the major character development for the character Odd happens in book one. And then he's the same throughout the rest of the series. Like, they're all great books, but his character development is pretty much set after book one. And for me, I knew from a writer standpoint, it's like I need to challenge myself every time and make it interesting for me, because that's one thing I do. I write for myself, mm-hmm. and then, like, I figure out if everyone else likes it. and so far, that's worked for me. But my role going into a second Teddy book was, okay, what about this is going to be different, and how can it be its own thing? And I decided to pretty much take a look at the first book and take everything that we thought we knew about the rules of this world and turn them upside down.
Oh.
And to me, that was way more interesting. The status quo completely changes in book two. And out of the 3 novels I've got out, Wake was the most fun to write. I love all 3 books, but Wake was just a beast. And it was just start to finish a ride, to say the least. So it's definitely the most fun of the 3 books from a writer perspective. 3 was in the House of Wolves was probably like the most personal for me. And then Teddy was, you know, obviously going to be that first book of just like, I really love this story. It's a lot of fun. You know, I wonder if people catch this sort of thing, but the most fun was definitely the second Teddy book.
That's awesome. And yes, writing for yourself. That's a big thing. Uh-huh. Writers, you know, don't worry about writing for everybody else. Write what you enjoy. Write what you know. Write what, you know, makes you happy. Don't worry about you, because there's always an audience. I don't care what you write. There's an audience. It's just finding them. But once you do, you got them. You know?
Yeah.
And literally, I mean, it's endless.
So many writers worry about what's popular, what's trending, and what they think that other people want to publish or this or that. And they totally skew away from what their passion is.
What's trendy now is not going to be trendy in 10, 20 years. And when you write something and throw it out there, it's forever. I mean, it's eternal. So write what you enjoy, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, Michael's taken leads to your best material, because when you write what you're passionate about, that's when your best stuff shines. So if you want your best foot forward, that's the way to do it, not worrying about what's popular, what's trending, or what checklist you think you have to hit that the publishers might want and this, that, and the other. I mean, you got to come from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things for me where I'm like, of course, I have a bar that I set for myself, like on what I expect out of my own writing. But otherwise, it's like, do I enjoy the story? Am I entertained by it? Do I get pumped up when I'm writing a sequence and I have no idea where it's going? And then I get to the end and I'm like, oh, because I'm a panther. Like, I have an idea of where the overall project is going. But in a scene, I don't know what's going to happen sometimes until it's out. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you get into those scenes where you don't know where it's going to go. And then all of a sudden it's like it's going down this rabbit hole and you're like, oh, this is interesting. I didn't see this.
Let's ride the wave.
Yeah. Honestly, that's how the entire second half of Teddy got written. I mean.
I hope this growing development out on the West Coast that you've been out exploring, I hope it does open doors for you to bring some of your other projects into adaptations and, you know, visual media series, et cetera. I hope it does open those, at least gets those doors open for you. That'd be awesome. Because, it sounds like you got some great, great stuff, man, ready to pour it over.
Yeah, it's one thing I'm definitely hoping. This was definitely one of those things where it's like, you know, I decided to pursue it. Yeah, I was getting paid for the screenplay, to be perfectly honest. But,
that's great.
I decided to do it. Yeah. It's like, one, it's like, hey, I'm actually getting paid. Okay. Sure, I'll do this screenplay.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it was definitely one of those things where I was like, okay, this is also a chance, you know, to possibly get my name out there in other circles to, you know, expose a totally different, like, you know, potential readers to what I do, you know. So I'm really excited about those type of opportunities. It's not so much about, you know, like the money, although the money definitely helps, like, make things a little bit more comfortable while I'm trying to write. But, you know, for me, creativity is not about, you know, money. It's about, you know, actually creating something that, you know, for me is interesting, is fun, and scares the crap out of people at the same time. So
that is fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
You know, so the goal for me, it's never been about, you know, like being rich or anything like that. The goal is just, hey, I want enough people to know who I am and enjoy my writing to where I can write full time and be able to enjoy
it. What you love.
That's my goal. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, it's been a great night. I don't want to keep you on too long tonight because we've gone into bonus territory, which
not
is good because
feeling good,
that means
yeah.
that between this show and last show, we've averaged out two complete shows now. Because we got to get the bonus territory. But go ahead and if you want to give a final statement, to then Holly and Daniel, you all can take us out. But this has been an awesome visit with you, and I've had a great time. Definitely catching up.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm glad I wasn't coughing through the whole episode. That's always a nice thing.
That's a good thing.
I would say the main thing. Just to you know, kind of go back to what we were saying just a few minutes ago for, you know, any, you know, fellow writers who are listening. It's like, just remember, it's like, if things are rough and you're not creating as much as you think you should be, you're still thinking about it. You're still planning. You're still getting there. Mm-hmm. So don't be too hard on yourself. You know, it will come as it comes. And write for yourself. Create for yourself. Like, this is how, you know, we kind of make sense of the world we live in, after all. So just remember, take care of yourself first. Create for yourself. And then you can worry about satisfying other people, because there's always going to be that one person who's going to give you a negative review. They're going to balance out all the good reviews.
Oh, yeah.
So don't even give a bad review. Just laugh at it and move on.
Yep. Agreed. Well, thank you so much for coming on tonight. You've been a great guest, and you'll definitely have to return. And I hope you get to feeling better.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you.
Get you lots of rest and hydrate. And thank you so much. And join us next week, next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Another great guest, another great chat. And I will turn it over to Mr. Dark.
And as you heard tonight, there are so many different ways to be creative. And, you know, we have an author on here that has figured out ways of finding his niches and sticking to them and always writing what he likes. And if he does what somebody else likes. Remember that when you're doing your creativity. And until we can talk next week, be creative. This is Daniel Dark signing off.